Thank you, Tim. Good morning, all. So good to be with you again. Away last week, family reunion, and a lot of stuff was happening, and I missed y'all. So it's good to be here. I'm not going to say anything about Pakistan. Maybe next week we can share a little bit about specifically what's going to be happening there. But I do want to talk about Chico just for a second, as Tim mentioned him. It's been probably 3 years since they've been here. So certainly they haven't been in this facility. And, Chico is everything Tim said. Patty and I were with Chico when he was 20, 21, newly saved and, pretty radical. I mean, radical transformation. But he was 21, young, kind of a young buck, you know, and Patty and I, where we live in a little block house, him and those boys, the single boys had to live with the single young men in the Bible school there in El Carmen. For those of you that have any understanding of that, it was not an easy life. So they would sneak down quite often. Patty told me this, and they would never do it when I was there, which I found interesting. They'd sneak down and get, talking about tacos, they'd get some, little more healthier meal from Patty, and she never told me that. So, at any rate, Chico is the real deal, and his family and his boys are all over 6 foot tall now. And so, it's fun. We'll text every once in a while or talk on the phone and as wonderful as he is, he deals with the same things that all of us deal with. He has trials and tribulations and difficulties and needs somebody to chat with every once in a while, just like I do. Probably Tim does, I'm sure. You know, we all have those kind of things. And so it's a blessing for him to be able to come here, and he always appreciates his time with us. So I'm looking forward to that time when he comes. And so, again, just to mention, our missions here is affecting people's lives around this world. And in our, we're in a situation where we know all of the people that our mission support. And we have been, I think, to most of these places, other than Malawi, I think. So that's on the list somewhere. We need to check that off, okay? Well, praise the Lord. It is Sunday, day of Pentecost, and we're gonna talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit today. And I'll be honest, this for me is not a strength. And I don't think for the church it's a strength. The power of the Holy Spirit evident in our lives. Certainly, I think Linda was saying the gals are going to be looking at the book of Acts. Is that right? Yeah. Well, good, because that's where we're going to be today. And the reality of what we read in the book of Acts and then a lot of the New Testament letters is different than what we might experience in our day. And there might be some reason for that, but in the end, I think it's primarily because we have not enjoyed and lived with and functioned with the person of the Holy Spirit to the extent that we should be. And here we are. We are a Pentecostal church in doctrine for sure. Now, where all of us are on that individually, I don't know. I'll tell you what I think, and that, whatever you take of that, take it whatever you want. But, the prophets, the Old Testament, talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit, and Tim has talked about this, and I'm going to take a little different angle than just the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But, it's evident through Scripture from Genesis 1 when the Spirit of God was brooding over the surface of the earth. That same Spirit is inside of each one of us. And I think we've become kind of deadened to the reality of what we have as children of God. Ezekiel said, he's referring to God, quoting God in this, he says, I will put my spirit in you. We could just sit and meditate on that for a second. The Spirit of God is inside each and every one of us. This last couple of weeks, I was burning a lot of wood, had a big old giant stack of wood and had a bonfire, and And for my granddaughter, Natalie, she was up one time from Annapolis, and I had her out there, and we were cutting branches, and, you know, I'm probably doing a little more dangerous stuff than I should have been with a little girl like that. But we had a fire, and so she loved it. So I always videotaped, because we have a willow tree, it's a big old stack of branches, right? So I always videotape the fire once it gets going. And I had one going probably 20 feet tall. The flames were just licking, you know. And but I keep it, and I send it to her. Says, "Oh, I missed you, Natalie. We would have had so much fun with this fire." But I was thinking about that this morning when we were worshiping. Because when I play it back, and I keep it for myself to play back, because you can hear the snap and the crackle of the fire. If I played it for you, you know, on this microphone, you'd say, "Oh, that's a fire. That's a fire burning." And that is what the Holy Spirit desires to do in each and every one of us. I think it's Isaiah. He's speaking to the nation of Israel. God, Lord, speaking to the nation of Israel through him says, "In the fire of my jealousy, I am speaking to you." And I think that same quote, he could be saying the same thing to us today. In the fire of my jealousy, he wants more of you. And I'm going to warn you right now, I'm not going to talk a long time here today, because I really think we should take a few minutes at the end and just pray together. Come up here if you want. Here's the oil right here, okay? It is a symbol of the Holy Spirit to pray for the sick. So we'll do that. We'll pray. We'll, you know, be here to pray, the elders and others. But I'll warn D, I'll let you know that as well, okay, for a little worship at the end or music. I always think of Elijah and Elisha, you know, the prophets, Old Testament. Talk about just crazy things that went on. And that is that, you know, that Old Testament spotting of the Holy Spirit coming in and doing these miraculous things. And he said at one point, he says, well, there's some situation, I can't remember what it was, but he says, "Go get a minstrel to play." And that's when something happened. There's something about the music and the worship, but I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit. I'm going to ask you, if you would please, to turn to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16. We'll start with verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. I'm going to read this, and don't worry, I'm not getting away from Acts chapter 1 and 2. We'll get there. First Corinthians 2, I'll start in verse 9. It says this, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." He's talking about you. You, as a person. "But God hath revealed them unto us," how? "By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." I think even the things on the surface of God are pretty deep, right? "The Spirit of God that resides in you searches the deep things of God." For what? To benefit us. In verse 16, we'll skip down to verse 16 for the sake of time. "Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But because of all this, because the Spirit is inside of us, searching the very heart of God, even the deep things, it says, we, you and I, have the mind of Christ." Father, we thank you that you have given us the Helper, the promise of the Father, the one who convicts and encourages and guides, our helpmate, to bring glory to your name. And we pray today, Lord, that your very Spirit would anoint each of our minds to receive from you today, Lord, even in my weak attempt, to receive from you all that you desire to do in your church. And by church, it is us, each and every heart, that we might live in the fullness of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what is Pentecost? Jesus, it says in Luke, the end of Luke, has gathered the apostles. And in Acts chapter 1, Luke 24 speaks to this a little bit. In Luke 24, he says, I am going to send the Holy Spirit. My Father has promised to send this. So he's letting them know prior to his ascension and being glorified with the Father. He says, I'm going to send you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city, here in Jerusalem. Now try to just put yourself in their place. What are they thinking? What's going on here? Until you have been clothed with power from on high. So this is going to be a word you're going to hear 50 times today. Power. Well, what does it mean? Power for what? And we've heard this because we know the phrases. Power for service. This is the baptism, and we'll get to that. But what does service mean? Why is he going to give us power? Why did Jesus demonstrate with power what he did? To confirm his words. To confirm what he was saying. He probably wished he didn't have to do that, but it got people's attention. When you raise somebody from the dead like Lazarus, you're going to get a crowd all of a sudden, right? So the goal wasn't to do powerful, miraculous things. It was to demonstrate who this Father is that loves you and what his plan is for you. So let's move to Acts chapter 1. We're just setting the table here. They're celebrating, they're there for the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. They're gathered together. We celebrate Pentecost Sunday 50 days after Easter. Okay? Easter, we celebrate. It's the first Sunday. Take notes on this one. It's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox, March 20th, spring. That's why we're doing this today. It doesn't matter in the big image here, but that's why we're talking about this today. But please keep in mind, this is an everyday thing he wants for us, right? Right? Yes. So in Acts chapter 1, here they are, they're gathered. Verse 5, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And actually a better word there is in the Holy Spirit. There is a deeper union. It's not just something that's put on you like a baseball cap. This is something that we are entering, a relationship through the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the world. Power for service to be a witness. So what does being a witness mean, right? We got to pin down these words, because why do I need this Holy Spirit, and what benefit does it bring to me and others? Okay, then we have the ascension. Jesus is glorified. He goes to the heavens, and they tarry. And now we are in Acts chapter 2. And I'll just read this from verse 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place, kind of like we are right here. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. Wind, a type of the Holy Spirit. Fire, a type of the Holy Spirit. Water, a type of the Holy Spirit. Oil, a type of the Holy Spirit. There's a reason those words get tied into the Holy Spirit. And filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves. And they rested on each one of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Okay. Here's the tip, and Tim has preached about this far better than I would ever explain it, but here's the bottom line as we look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we are saved, we would say we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Yet, it is pretty clear, and Tim has explained this, it is pretty clear from Scripture and later in the book of Acts that there are separate occurrences in the lives of those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ but have not yet received in its fullness, quote unquote, the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to go into all that, so there's a difference between the indwelling and the baptism with or in the Holy Spirit, and as evidenced by the speaking with other tongues. And in this case, in Acts chapter 2, those that were there with them understood what they were saying, which means it's a language that was known at the time. And what were they hearing? They were glorifying God. In other languages, they didn't know, these apostles. Okay, so I am not going to deny that happened. It is a truth, and I believe that is still for today. Okay, as a Pentecostal, and being a Pentecostal doesn't mean it, it just means I believe these certain things. I believe that is for today. That is, it is a gift to us to help glorify God as evidence of that filling of the Holy Spirit. And when I say filling, please keep in mind, we can be full, but a thimble can be full, a cup can be full, and the sea can be full. And there's a difference. They're all full, but there is definitely a greater fullness to the sea than to the thimble. And I will admit myself that I sometimes think that I live with the fullness of the Spirit with the thimble, as evidenced by my life. Okay, now I might be hard on myself, maybe not. Maybe I'm not even the thimble, right? I don't know. But the point is, I think there is more for each of us. Okay, how you want to handle the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling, baptism, speaking in tongues. I'm just going to put that on the shelf. I explain what it says, and we'll leave it there. Now I want to move on, just briefly, in what I think this Holy Spirit means for us today to be witnesses. So we can be witnesses with power of the gospel. So I just want to make a few brief points here. And then we just want to pray that God's Holy Spirit would live and work in us in ways that are deeper and more productive, although I don't like that term very much, but there'd be a deeper intimacy with the Father and with the Son because of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Here are a few points. One, there is a power struggle going on. There is a major spiritual power struggle. In Acts chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "But God raised him, Jesus, up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power." Christ cannot be defeated by death, right? And so that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. Okay? So, doesn't it seem right that if that same power is inside of us, that there would be something a little different about us in our life, how it's exhibited with our coworkers, with our families? I was at a family reunion this past weekend, and down in Jamestown. Came from all over the country, and, you know, typical family. Ours is a Christian family, I'll say that. But there are some rascals in there. Everybody's got black sheep, right? And as I'm there, I'm thinking, I'm not here just to be polite. I'm not just going to be polite with some. I want to be a witness to the people, and to fellow believers as well, right? And my family. We don't see each other for probably every 5 years, and it's easy to just smile and get along, hug. Well, it's great to see you. A few days later, adios. There you go. Goodbye. And I knew that even amongst friendlies, sometimes you stand alone. There's a power struggle over your life, okay? This is going to get better. It's going to get personal here in a minute, so be careful. Be careful. I want you nodding your head. Be careful. Two, the Holy Spirit is a person, which means it's not just a thing or a power that is thrown inside of us. It is a person, which to me says there is a need for intimacy with this person. And just like getting to know people at school or, you know, on my street, neighbors, you know somebody better or more deeply by spending time with them. And I think when Tim talked about this, he made references. We think of Jesus as that God-man. God the Father is the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is just kind of this thing that's floating out there. Right? And it is not. He is part of the Trinity. He. Not it. He. And he in our dispensation, in our time, is the one that God has left with us to communicate with. Right? And through. And we'll see what he does. You know, the Holy Spirit sometimes is called the Spirit of Christ as well. They're all together. Three, the Holy Spirit is someone we receive and not achieve. I cannot earn the power of God. That's the law. I cannot be good enough to exhibit the power of God to my neighbor. I can't. I will fail. Every day I probably do, right? It is something he gives us. It is something he has given us. Moving along. Number four. He is an agent. We'll call it a quickening agent. It's used in scripture. This is a key one. His job is to reveal and testify of Jesus Christ. That is the Holy Spirit's real job. Jesus is the center of it all, right? All things created by him and for him. And the Holy Spirit, when Christ ascended, he leaves us, he gives us the Holy Spirit to testify of the one, the name, Christ himself. John 14:26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sent and will send in my name, will teach you what? All things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. That's his job, to remind and teach us about Christ and the things that he said. Paul says, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of what? Knowing Christ Jesus. This is the ultimate goal, I think, of the Holy Spirit. The power of the gospel is that we, me, and those that we witness to, even to the uttermost parts of the earth, which I'll see here in a few weeks, right? The uttermost parts of the earth, is to express Christ himself, is that we and they may know him, because we were made for him. The vine and the branches, to abide in him. The Holy Spirit is given to us that we might abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. To bring harmony, to bring us in harmony with Christ and his teaching. What's it say in John 16? When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will what? Guide you into all truth. Capital T, him. Christ is the truth, and we know that that truth will set you free. You know, it doesn't mean, and I'm speaking from experience this week, it doesn't mean that if the Holy Spirit has just complete control of me, that I'm not going to feel pain, that I'm not going to get rejected, that I'm not going to have emotions that are not always perfect for him, that it's not going to be smooth sailing, or that I don't have enough money to do what I want to, or that my job is not what I'd hoped it would be. It doesn't mean that's going to be, that's not what it means. There are storms in life, right? There are storms. There's loneliness. People in here, I know, I'm sure there are some dealing with loneliness. There are some in here that are dealing with depression. I felt a little bit of that this week. Sickness. Here we go. We'll pray, right? It means that there is an answer. It, and the Holy Spirit is always pointing us to Jesus Christ as our answer. This power for service, sometimes that service is that we can benefit from this service, that the Spirit of God will teach us about ourselves. Last one. I'll say that. He brings a supernatural element. Number five. Beyond our experience, beyond my strength, beyond my politeness, beyond my skill level or education, he brings a supernatural element to my life. Gives us the power to live in the fruit of the Spirit, with the gifts of the Spirit, to express the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ to those around us, and for myself to be transformed. For the parched ground shall become a pool, says Isaiah, and the thirsty land springs of water. That's what he wants for you. And there is parched ground in every one of us in here because we are not perfect yet. That's a sanctification process, right? But the Holy Spirit wants to water that parched ground. Then the letter to Timothy was a little tougher. Having the form of godliness, but lacking what? The power thereof. And I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like that's me a lot. I feel like I try to say and do the right things in myself, in my own character. And to be honest with you, in our society, it doesn't take much to stand out a little bit. It doesn't. And you can convince yourself that you've reached some place spiritually. And it's just a matter of the rest of the league being weak, right? I think about that in sports because since COVID, every coach will tell you this. The league or the competition just seems to have gotten lower and lower, less and less, which makes you feel better about yourself if you've maintained, right? Last one, and this is where it gets personal. The Holy Spirit convicts and transforms, and this is the issue of sin. And it's not an easy thing to talk about. All of us deal with it. There are things in every one of our lives that we would be embarrassed about if other people in this room knew about it. Sin is why he came, right? To die for the sins of men. We're all there. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to not only understand through his conviction, but in that loving way that says, now you know, now let me help you out. Forgive me for even saying this here. I was in a truck driving down to the reunion, somebody else's truck, because we had to move my dad and so forth. And I turned the radio on. It's a 2.5 hour drive. So I turned the radio on and it comes on. It's the newfangled panel, Barry. I don't know how to operate the thing, how to do anything. I just turn it on and there's music going, okay? Well, it's all I can see is it says 70s hits or something. I don't know. So, okay. If I'm going to get stuck with it, I lived in that era. So Supertramp comes on. Anybody know who Supertramp was? Okay, that's embarrassing. Put your hand down. That's embarrassing. You know, isn't it funny how when you go back to your childhood, you can sing those songs and you know the words to them? Just admit it, it's true. So the song comes on, it's called The Logical Song. I wouldn't have known that's what it was called, but that's what it's called. And there's the singer or the writer of the song is saying, you know, I'm trying to do all these things right. I'm doing things logically. I'm presentable. I'm all these things, right? Practical, presentable, sensible. And as he's singing that, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that is the church. Trying to do the right things, looking good, you know, for the most part, but having a form of godliness, but lacking the power thereof. The power that is inside of you. And I'm not going to go into this debate about whether the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just more of a yielding to the Holy Spirit. And all I can say is, it says there was a clear distinction. A separate event took place, and there was suddenly power that came on them to witness. Peter's a perfect example. Denies Christ three times, right? And then after the day of Pentecost, he is now preaching to 120 and plus. And his life was different. Charles Spurgeon says, whenever the Spirit touches the soul of man, this is good, there is the withering of the flesh and the flourishing of the Spirit. The flesh will die in the presence of light, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes we're a lot more like, I was bragging on the prophet Elijah, but sometimes we get like him. Remember what's going on with him at the end? He's running away from Jezebel and hiding under a juniper tree. Why they said that? Why juniper tree? I don't know. He's hiding under a juniper. He's cowering from a gale. This is why I get in trouble, Tim. And it's like the Lord had to say, what are you doing? Don't you know what you have? Haven't you just seen what I did through you? And it was a miracle. It was the power of the Holy Ghost. And yet we're human beings. I get it. I'm one. And so are we all here, right? We all need to just be encouraged that there is hope and life for us. Psalm 103, Tim and I, we love this one. He made known his ways to Moses, but his acts to the sons of Israel. And I think most of the church knows the acts of God. We look okay. But it was only Moses that knew his ways, the depth of God. And understand, it's not just knowing something, it's understanding it. It's not just knowing about Jesus, it's knowing him intimately. And this is why the Holy Spirit is here for us. I'm going to ask, Dean, I don't know if it, you just with you or the whole bunch, I really don't want to take away from people in the worship team, because sometimes they get left out of this if they want to pray. So however you want to do that, we can. And I'm not twisting anybody, you know, I'm not like that. I'm not twisting anybody's arm to come up here and pray. I'm just saying this, whether it's to be prayed for healing, loneliness, anxieties, fears, or you're just saying, you know what? There is more of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is more of the power of God that he wants for me. If I were to ask you, how productive do you feel? How mature do you feel spiritually? How confident are you in your relationship with the Lord, in living it out day to day? I'm gonna give an example of Kenny here, and this is the perfect example. Just the little details of life that are expressed this way. Kenny was telling me he went to a place to get lunch, fast food place, and they were running behind, and they said, you know what, there's your meal. We're not going to get the machines up quick enough. Just go ahead and take it. So he took it, along with about five or six others. What did he do? And this is the perfect example of this. You're going to say, well, it's this dumb little thing. He comes back the next day, buys another meal, and pays for the other one from the day before. This is the power for living to be witnesses before men. Nobody got saved, as far as I know, but he did the right thing. Which, to me, apart from the Holy Ghost, we would not do the right thing, because we'd look, what's going to benefit me here? What's the easiest way out of this? What's the most comfortable way? And they let me do it. They let me have the meal. And I know this is a silly example, but to me, it's right to the heart of it, because it's where we live each and every day. It's in these day-to-day activities where the Spirit of God wants to express himself, not in some powerful thing. You know, if it's miraculous, great. But it's tougher, I think, sometimes just to do the right thing every single day, day in and day out, with the people that you work with. right? You can get frustrated. Ruth says to Naomi, her mother-in-law, and I won't go into the whole story, all that you say, Naomi, my mother-in-law, all that you say, I will do. And he's saying the same thing to us today. He's saying, look it, do you really want more of me? Do you really? Because there's going to be a price. I guarantee it, there'll be a price. If you walk this out this week, you're going to face it a little bit. Because anything of value has a cost. Think about the one who gave his life. The perfect man, God, gave his life for you. That we could sit here today and have a conversation about the power of God and the deep things of God residing in you. And so, I'll be the first one here. If any of you want, we're going to pray here in a minute, but I'm just going to invite anybody that wants to come up, whether it's for, you know, prayer for healing, prayer for somebody else, just to be alone and ask for more. Maybe you've heard my stumbling explanation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you say, you know what, I don't feel like I've ever even heard that. Or have that. I want somebody to pray for me for that, just like on the day of Pentecost. We'll do that, okay? If nobody comes up, nobody comes up. It's okay. I'm not going to feel hurt. I'm not. Trust me, I won't. But here's your opportunity, okay? Sometimes it's just important to be public about it. If it means that much to us, if other people in this world mean that much to you, your family and friends mean that much, we take those steps. So as Dee plays through a little bit, I'm just going to encourage people to take a couple minutes. Folks can come up, and then we will pray together. So please feel free to come forward if you'd like.
This is a great, great message, Tim. I just want to read this one verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. Most translations say fan into a flame. And the reason I bring that up is Tim talked about Acts chapter 2, verse 1, where it's talked about the fire of the Holy Spirit coming on people and that symbolism of fire. And sometimes, and here's the word, when I was praying this morning before I came up here, fresh fire, fan into a flame. So what God has done in the past in our lives isn't enough. And today I know for some that are here that God would just fan into a flame. You know, God provides the fire, and we provide the fuel, you know, by the sacrifice of our lives. And the Holy Spirit fans that fire and just makes it grow stronger and stronger. So we'll pray for you and stuff. I just wanted to share that, you know, that whether you're here to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit or just fan into a flame to stir it up. You know how a fire and the embers start to get a little, they're kind of going away, and you stir it up, and the fire just increases. Hallelujah. Let's just do some worship, and let's just pray. And, you know, if you're up here, you can pray for folks or be prayed for.
Yeah. Is there anybody that specifically would like to be anointed with oil? We're free to do that. We'll come around, okay?
Spirit of living God, Spirit of we only want to hear your voice, hanging on every word. Spirit of living God, Spirit of living God, we want to know you more and more, hanging on every word. To hear your voice hanging when you speak and when you move, or when you do what only you can do. It changes us, it changes what we see and what we seek. And when you come into the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we seek.
Thank you, Father. I just want to read a scripture and then we're going to pray together. Again, this is back in Ezekiel 36. We opened with portion of this scripture. It says this: "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. He cleanses us. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols." Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray that those things that hold us back from knowing you more intimately, from blocking off that voice of the Holy Spirit, sometimes that still small voice, help us to hear you, Lord, and to break through the chains of the evil one by the power of the Holy Ghost. "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You will live in the land that I gave you." And so, Father, that land is represented not just to the nation of Israel, but to the life that you have laid out for each of us. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for encouragement, conviction, guidance, all pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be at the very heart of our motives and our actions and relationships, and that you would start even in this moment how we relate to each other, those at the workplace, in our home, our neighbors, and most importantly, our relationship with you, Father. A clean heart, that we would see with your eyes, that the power of the Holy Ghost would be there, not just to have the fruit of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, as important as they are, but that we, our lives would be a very testimony, a witness to those around us. That we would be a separate and holy people because you have made us that. Life in our bodies, life in our minds, a worldview that is pleasing and in line with you and your word. Open your word to us, Holy Spirit, to see things we haven't seen before. And again, to have courage, even as Joshua did. Take courage in what we have in him. Be glorified, Father, in the beautiful and wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Please feel free. If you want to stay up here at the altar, you can. We'll dismiss the service. And let's just love him. Love him. Amen.